The reading today will come from Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read Hebrews 9, verses 1 through 7. Beginning in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." This is a long section on the Old Testament tabernacle. In verse 1, when he talks about the first covenant, remember that he's just talked about the first covenant in chapter 8. And he's told us in the last part of chapter 8 that that covenant was ready to vanish away, in practice as well as in force. Now he talks about the Old Testament tabernacle and what went on there. And notice in verse 1 that he talks about a divine service and a worldly sanctuary. That simply means that this sanctuary was earthly. It was a physical tent. Now that's in contrast to what we saw in chapter 8. Remember back in chapter 8, verse 2, that he talked about the true tabernacle? Well, that true tabernacle is the church, because this Old Testament tabernacle in the first part of it represented the church. And so what we find in this book of Hebrews is that the writer goes into great detail about the tabernacle and about the Old Testament. I say great detail for us because these Jews that were reading this for the first time in the first century knew all about what he's talking about here. As a matter of fact, they knew far more than we do about it. These Jews treasured their history and they treasured their temple. But the writer is saying that God was about to put an end to it. He was about to make a permanent end to a temporary system. Remember, the physical tabernacle that he's talking about here, which he calls a worldly sanctuary, and that just means a holy place, represented the spiritual tabernacle, which is the church. And so what we're looking at in this reading is the shadow, the figure, the type, the pattern, the copy. And so let's go inside of that tabernacle and look and see what was in that special tent that God ordained for the worship of Israel. The Bible says that it had two parts. This tabernacle was not an extremely large building. It was a building that had a front compartment and a back compartment, and they were separated by a curtain called a veil. Remember, this tabernacle was a tent. Now later, of course, the temple replaced this tabernacle, but the temple followed the same pattern in that it had the same items that are mentioned here. So the first part is oftentimes called the holy place. The priest, and I say priest plural, went into that first place called the holy place. And what was in there? Well, the Bible says in verse 2 that there was a candlestick, sometimes called a menorah. This was a lampstand. It was made of pure gold, and it had seven lights. Then he says there was a table with the showbread. Now, this is what we oftentimes call the table of showbread. That bread was cooked on a regular basis, and it was placed there for the priest to eat. It was a special food for these priests. Now, the next thing that he talks about, after he talks about this first compartment, or this first place called the holy place, is the part behind the veil, which is called the most holy place. Now, this is what he begins to talk about in verse 3. And after the second veil, this is called the second veil because when the priest went into the holy place, they went through the first curtain or the first veil into this tent. But then there was a special curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And the only person that was allowed to go into the most holy place was the high priest. The Bible says in verse 3, and after the second veil or curtain, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So sometimes this is called the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, or the holiest of all. Sometimes, in some settings, it's simply called the holy place. But that was a very special place in this tabernacle. And he says in verse 4, which had the golden censer. One of the rituals, or one of the ceremonies, under the law of Moses, in the worship of Israel, was to burn incense. And so this was one of the duties of the priest. This incense was placed on a special altar, sometimes called the altar of incense. That was a special table. It was also made of acacia wood and overlaid with pure gold. God gave specific instructions about how all of these items were to be built. He didn't just tell Moses to make the structure of the tabernacle according to a certain pattern. He told him exactly how to make the candlestick and the table of showbread and the altar of incense and the curtain. And so there were very detailed instructions that God gave to Moses about all of this. And that's what Hebrews 8 verse 5 refers to, that God told Moses to make all things according to the pattern that God showed to him in the mount. So before we talk about the altar of incense and the censer and why we have this statement in verse 4 about that censer, let's stop and consider what he's doing here. He's saying to these Jewish people who were members of the church, and this is teaching us today, that Old Testament system was a type. It was a shadow. And so the first compartment in that tabernacle prefigured and represented beforehand the church. It was a type that pointed to the church that was established, of course, centuries after. And so many people believe that the items that were in that first tabernacle or in the first part of that tabernacle represent things in the church. For instance, there are many that believe that the candlestick, because of the light that it gave off, represents the Bible, which is the light for Christian people. And that the showbread represents the Lord's Supper, that the incense represents the prayers of Christian people, because in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible talks about the prayers of the church being like incense that ascends up to God. And then, of course, outside of the tabernacle, in front of the tabernacle, you had a basin of water for the washing for the priest. There are many people that believe that that basin represents baptism, and that the altar outside and in front of the tabernacle either represents the sacrifices that we make as Christian people because we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, verse 1, or that it represents the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. So there may be some difference of opinion about the particulars in these types and foreshadows back in the Old Testament, but in general, we have to agree that all of this prefigured and pointed the way toward the New Testament system. Now, getting back to the altar of incense and the golden incense, there's a question that people have had over the years, and that is that it appears from Exodus chapter 30 that the altar of incense was in the first part of the tabernacle. And yet, after he introduces the second part, which is behind the veil or the curtain in verse 3, he says in verse 4, which had the golden censer. Now, there's some translations, like the King James Version and others, which go with the translation, the golden censer. And that would refer to the censer that the priest held in his hand when he burned that incense. There are others that prefer the translation, the altar of incense. So if it refers to this golden censer, then that might have been something that the priest used, especially on the Day of Atonement, to burn incense. If it's the altar of incense, then it could be that what he's saying is that because that altar of incense, especially on the Day of Atonement, was so connected with the priest going through that curtain back into the most holy place that he considers the burning of the incense as belonging to that ritual on the Day of Atonement, and so he includes it here in regard to and in connection with the holiest of all. So there are different ways, there are different approaches that people have used over the years to harmonize what the Old Testament says and what the New Testament says here in Hebrews 9:4 about that altar of incense or the golden censer. But the one thing that is agreed upon is that what he's telling these people about the old law and the old tabernacle is that that was temporary. You see, these Jews tended to have their minds fixed on that physical building and that old system. And he's trying to tell them that that was temporary and that it never was intended to be the real permanent system. And so in verse 4, he talks about the Ark of the Covenant, which was also overlaid with gold, and in it was the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, that is, the tables of stone upon which were written with the finger of God the Ten Commandments, and over it, on the top of it, these cherubims, evidently representations of angels. And of course, also in verse 5, he talks about the mercy seat, and that's very important because that is where the priest placed that blood of the animal sacrifice on that one special day of the year, and that was the Day of Atonement. That was the only day of the year that the high priest could go back there. The other priests could go into the first part, but the only person that was authorized to go into the most holy place was the high priest. Now, connect this with what this book is about. Who is our high priest? Jesus is our high priest. The high priest in Israel went back into the most holy place with blood. And what he's going to show us in Hebrews chapter 9 is that Jesus, as our high priest, went into the most holy place. What is that? Well, the holy place represents the church, but the most holy place represents heaven. Now, that's what he's going to expand on in this chapter. So getting back to verses 4 and 5, he talks about the Ark of the Covenant. What happened to that Ark? Nobody knows. The Romans came in and destroyed the temple in AD 70 and looted that place. We don't know what happened to it. But the law itself, represented by that Ark, has been done away with by God. If any of those items that he talks about here were ever found, that wouldn't change anything as far as the law of God is concerned. It would confirm what the Bible says about these historical events and these historical items, but as far as our relationship to God is concerned, it wouldn't change anything because we're under the New Testament. So in verse 6, he tells us that the priests, notice that, the priest went into the first tabernacle, but in verse 7, into the second, that is, into the most holy place, went the high priest alone. And that was only once every year. It's not one time on that day, but it's once every year in the sense that it was on the Day of Atonement. You read about that holy day in Leviticus chapter 16, and that day pointed the way to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world.